your sin debt, a time in history, at the point of the cross, has already been taken care of. And God is not going to say, well, you know, Jesus said it's about 95% finished, so I'm going to exact wrath on you for the remaining 5%. That's not how it works. So when we talk about the future judgment seat, you should not confuse it with the fact that God is somehow going to exact wrath on you for your sin debt. Your sin debt's already been taken care of the moment you trusted in Christ. There is something else this judgment is not for. Number two, it is not to determine whether you're a Christian or not. It is not to determine salvation. Why is that? Because the moment you placed your faith in Christ, your salvation is secure. You say, well, I don't believe you. Well, you don't need to believe me. I'm not the important one here. Believe the Lord. What did the Lord say in John 5, verse 24? Truly, truly. Now that's two trulies, isn't it? In Greek, that's amen, amen. In other words, this is certain. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus says, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has, present tense, has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of, perfect tense, but has passed out of death unto life. Remember the perfect tense? One-time action, ongoing results. The moment you placed your trust in Christ as your Savior, it's not that you're going to get eternal life. You have it, present tense. And you were, at the point of faith, transferred from death to life. You're not being transferred. You're not in the process of being transferred. It's something that's a one-time deal, perfect tense, that's already transpired. So therefore, when we appear at the judgment seat of Christ, the issue is not, are you saved or are you not saved? That issue is already taken care of. And the issue at the Bema Seat judgment of Christ is not to exact wrath on you for sins. That's been taken care of. So with all of that being said, what then is the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ? It is to determine rewards. Here's a maxim that's absolute reality. All those rewarded are believers, but not all believers are equally rewarded at the Bema Seat judgment of Christ. This is the whole point of the warning that Paul is giving to the carnal Corinthian church. He's basically not saying you're not a Christian, you're not going to heaven. He's saying you're not going to fare well, given your current behavior, at the future Bema Seat judgment of Christ. And David was talking a little earlier concerning keeping the upper room discourse and the Olivet discourse separate. You've got to keep in your mind separate the four great judgments of the Bible. A lot of pastors and theologians follow what I call the ram, jam, and cram method, where they just cram it all into one event. And that is not paying attention to the details of the text. There are four judgments in the Bible, three of which have nothing to do with the church, only one of which relates to the church. The first is the sheep and goat judgment. That takes place on the earth. It's described in Matthew 25. It's for the Gentile survivors of the tribulation period. It occurs after the tribulation period, because there's a lot of people that will survive the tribulation period, and you're not in that group. But the Lord has to determine, and you'll see all this in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, which of these are believers as survivors, which are unbelievers. Believers are sheep, enter the kingdom. Goats are unsaved, and they're cast off the earth into judgment. And they're evaluated during that time period by how their faith manifested itself in the good work of helping Christ's brethren. Who would those be? The Jewish people, who are going to need a lot of help when the Antichrist is trying to kill them in the tribulation period. So that's judgment number one. Now, there's a parallel judgment for the Jews in the wilderness in Ezekiel 20, 33 through 44, and this is not for the Gentile survivors of the tribulation period, this is for the Jewish survivors of the tribulation period. It also happens at the end of the tribulation period. And there are some Jews that are saved and some that are not. And so the Lord has to make a separation. Those that are saved pass under the shepherd's rod and enter the kingdom in mortal bodies and begin to repopulate the earth. So those two judgments that I just described are not the Bema Seat judgment of Christ. Those are earthly judgments for people after the church has already been removed from the earth. And then if you go to the far right-hand side of the screen, there's a terrible judgment. And probably every day of my life, I thank God I'm not going to be part of that one. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. It's described in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. It's for all unsaved of all time. And it takes place after the millennial kingdom. And as their name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're judged by the books. If you're not in the book, you're judged by the books. Well, what's in the books? It's a record of works. And the Lord is looking at those to determine their degree of punishment in hell. And you'll find all of that described in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. So what I'm talking about here is not the sheep and goat judgment. It's not the judgment of the Jews in the wilderness. It's not the great white throne judgment. It's that judgment that I have in yellow there. It's the Bema Seat judgment. It's totally different. Takes place in heaven. It's for church age believers. It's after the rapture, and it's to determine rewards. And essentially what's going to happen is your works, not you, are going to be taken through a fire to ascertain their quality. And whatever is left over after the fire finishes its work is part of a reward that we receive above and beyond salvation. At this particular judgment seat of Christ, there are going to be five crowns, given or not given. The first is the incorruptible crown for the believer that gains mastery over the flesh or the sin nature. Not the believer that's sinless, but the believer that sins less under God's resources. The Corinthian church wasn't fitting that category at all. And that's why Paul warns them that they're going to miss out on this crown. Then there's the crown, and I have all the scriptures in the left column where you can look those up and see where I'm getting these from. There's the incorruptible crown for the soul winner, the crown of life for the believer that endures trials. Anybody going through trials today? You guys are kind of quiet on that one. Anybody going through trials today? If you're going through a trial under God's power, God is going to reward you for that. There's the crown of glory for the believer that faithfully shepherds God's people, a counselor, a youth pastor, one-on-one. You're a kind of a shepherd. God's reward you. And then there's the crown of righteousness for simply longing for His appearing. The believer that didn't get comfortable in the world, but can't wait for the return of the Lord. The Lord gives a crown for that. So these are the crowns either given or not given. And a lot of people have this mindset that it's sort of like a ribbon for participation. You know, we don't really give trophies anymore for champions. We give everybody a trophy for participating, right? And a lot of people think the Bema Seat judgment is going to be like that. In fact, a lot of the teachers from the very strong Calvinistic mindset that teach the perseverance of the saints, all Christians are supposed to bear fruit, you'll find that they almost hardly ever talk about the Bema Seat judgment of Christ because it's almost of no consequence to them, because after all, we're all going to be equally rewarded, right? And I'm here to tell you that is not what the Bible says. In fact, if you look at the top of the screen, you'll see examples where some are rewarded, others are not.